It's Wednesday, March 6th. Here's what's coming up on a mayor's office.
But I'm in full uni. I'm like, I got to go lay down. So I go up into the locker room, bro. And whenever Bartolo Colon was on the team, whenever Bartolo Colon didn't pitch, all he would do is be up eating and watching Telemundo. So I'm like, what's up, Bart? I was like, dude, listen, I was like, I just took a Levi Garrett, some of Tito's bazooka. I go, I got to lay down. Well, the couch wasn't that big. So for the next five innings, I had my head on Bartolo Colon's lap, laying down, watching Telemundo with him for like
2 hours. Are you serious?
Hour, I swear to God, true story, for an hour and a half. And I'm in love with this good life. Can't give it up. Make it to the top and keep climbing. I wanna live it up. The good life. I'm coming up. The good life. Oh, good life. Boom, coming in hot. Chichi, what's going on, brother?
I forgot to charge my lights, guys.
It's all right, dude. You know what I mean? You can't teach experience. You just got these lights. You know what I mean? They're just learning. You got to charge them.
Yeah, I got to charge them and everything. I didn't. Whatever. Hey, you were Jake's first what, home opener?
Kent State? Yeah, home opener. Oh, dude, they almost, to tell you the truth, it was an incredible game. They almost lost to Tiffin, who was a Division II team. Mm-hmm. But Tiffin could swing it, dude. They had some good players. It was a legit team. But, dude, they were down 7-5 in ninth. Jake comes up, two outs, bases loaded. I'm like, oh, boy. And he's kind of scuffing right now. So mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, man. You just – gets like 1-2 battles, foul ball. I mean, one ball almost hit him in the neck. He fouled it over their dugout. I was like, I don't even know why I hit that, you know. But you could tell he was like, I'm not getting beat out front. I'm just going to keep fighting. I think it was like a 9-pitch at bat, dude. He gets a walk. So he gets a ribby.
Okay.
Makes it 7-6. Then his buddy comes up after a Ripken Reese. What a cool name that is. Ripken wow. Reese. Named That's after, amazing, obviously, man. The Ripkins. Yeah. You got it. So he walks. And then my man, Kyle Jackson, KJ, hits a freaking walk-off grand slam, dude.
Oh, man. That's so funny. We were just talking about what it feels like to hit a walk-off hit in the majors yesterday. Wow, and then you
walk-off grand slam.
Wow.
The game started at 2:00. Got rain delayed at 3:00. I sat in my car till 5:00 and listened to some podcasts while it poured. Game came back on and then watched the game. And then the game ended at like 7:30.
Went to
dinner with Jake really quick. Went back and looked at his house. By the way, dude, I went to his apartment. I went to his like apartment, like house afterwards.
Yeah.
Bro, every room was clean. Kitchen was clean.
Congratulations.
Dude, good job, Jake, and your buddies, Ryan and
yeah. Hey, Oops, I was a guy in college.
And Ash. Oh, dude, I was a – me and Jay Adams were two of the biggest slobs in the country. Like,
oh, my you mom come over terrified. Terrified.
Dude, me, John Cunningham, Doug Buchanan, and my buddy Jay Adams lived together junior year, man. When I had – you know, I broke my foot, so I was on crutches. My mom came to visit one weekend, and she was like – my mom was mortified. She was like – Shawnee, this is disgusting. Yeah. And John Cunningham, one of my best friends, he like started to cry to my mom. He's like, Mrs. Casey, he's like, because he's like a neat freak and he just came into like, you know, a bunch of bums. He's like, is there any chance you could help clean the house? My mom spent like 2 days cleaning the apartment, bro.
I know.
Well, John Cunningham cried in the corner.
Dude, listen, I'm similarly third, but like, you know, my mom, Italian, amazing cook, like the greatest Italian cook, learned how to cook in Italy, right?
Wow.
So, like, at the beginning of each semester, she would give me these, like, just vats of sauce, like La Matriciana sauce and, like, good stuff. And I would always make food, like, the first week with my friends. And this one year, I think it was my junior year, we cooked something in some big pot. And I just didn't feel like cleaning it, so I threw it in my freezer. Dude, my mom came like 2 months later. You opened my freezer, it was like Jurassic Park. It was like the scene in Ghostbusters when like Gozer is like in the freezer. My mother was like, how do you live like this? You're getting like, it's like asbestos coming.
Oh my God, dude.
It's hard, man. It's hard to be a guy.
Oh my God. I was saying the biggest reason we had like the biggest reason we were so nasty is because we had like, it wasn't even a beer pong table. It was a beer pong table, but we had just a big piece of plywood. Right when you walked in. So it was like, people would come over and hang out like during the week and stuff. And you just never, you know, and then, you know, you never clean it up. It's ridiculous, dude. So listen, to say the least, I was beyond excited that it was like a nice, actually it was like a nice place, legit.
That's really surprising. You know what though? Guys nowadays are a lot more in tune to like, what is the right thing to do than we were when we were like 19, 20. You know what I mean? Like, I just think they just like,
dude,
oh, they're not going to get a girlfriend if they have a dirty house. Back then, I don't know, it was all free for all.
embarrassed for myself.
I know, me too.
Dude, I remember that was the first time. This is when you know that you're in a place that like, you're just like, whatever. I remember I came down one more, it was like Saturday morning, you know, it was a party the night before. So I come down, you know, probably around 11 o'clock, watch some like Saturday afternoon football.
Yeah.
And I'm so thirsty. You know that feeling? You're just like so parched. I'm like, I am so thirsty. So I just actually gagged thinking about this story for a second there. Like just took me back. So I'm like so thirsty. And there was a McDonald's cup next to me with the straw on it, like, you know, everything. And I was like, oh man, something to drink. And I think I felt like, you know, obviously I was like in the desert. I was that thirsty. I'm like, oh man, it must be watered down ice. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I take it.
No, don't tell me. I think that's what it is.
I know you know what it is because you know you've done it before.
Oh,
take
no.
A big sip. It's somebody's spittoon.
I knew it, dude.
Bro. I'm gagging right now because I did swallow it.
I did that once.
And I think I threw up right after I swallowed it and I threw up. It was unbelievably disgusting, dude.
Sprats on the water when I was in high school used to let into this bar at like seven. Me at like 18 years old, I look like I was nine. I'm outing Sprats on the water on Long Island. From 9 p.m. till 10 p.m., they had nickel gin and tonics. Which is just also a horrible idea for any human. And so me and my friend would get
nickel gin and tonics. That place. Yeah. Oh my
God. Get there at 8:55 and just buy 40
the high end gin. The high end gin, oh, right? Yeah,
exactly. It was like basically sock sweat. And, dude, I had one of those nights where I overserved myself. I go to grab a drink and I just chugged the whole thing and it was dude, I know what you're talking about.
It was a spittoon.
I threw up for like three straight days, and the worst part was it was a combo of dip and tonic water.
Oh, I know. Oh man.
All right, we got to move on for this. We're making people nobody's listening to this during like dinner.
Classic. we'll have to go down the road. I got one more quick story because it's worth it.
Love it.
Dude, you know, looking back, you know, obviously we didn't, you know, you look back and you're a baseball player, so you want to dip.
Yeah,
all the guys are dipping. You want, you know,
you're supposed to do makes you hit.
Yeah, better. You're supposed to do. And I must admit, every player that I ever played with that dipped wishes they didn't. I must have missed a minute.
I agree with that.
I would watch Dustin Pedroia take a huge thing of peach skull and just put it in his mouth, like almost a whole tin. And I'm like, bro. He's like, I wish I never started this, but I can't, you know, I got to go rake. I got to go get three hits. I'm like, all right, keep it going. So, dude, remember in eighth grade, I'm with Grant Jackson, a couple other guys, Tim McGarvey. We're like, all right, we're going to start dipping. So we do hawking.
Uh-huh.
Well, dude, guys could eat hawking. It's so light.
Yeah,
I ended up throwing up, you know, whatever. So anyway, at this point in my life, I'm 6 for 6, six throw ups, right? I've done beach nut, you know, not long too. They're usually in there 30 seconds and I'm done. I must've been allergic or something. Mm-hmm. So it's my last year in the big leagues, dude. I'm like, I'm on the DL. We're in Boston. I'm on the bench with Coco Crisp and Johnny Lester. And every day I'm watching Terry Francona chew three pieces of bubble gum, take his Levi Garrett dipped into some Kahlua, wraps it up, puts it in. It looks kind of good. He's spitting, you know. Like, you know, Tito's not the healthiest dude around, so I'm like, maybe that's not the best habit ever, you know. So sure enough, bro, I'm like, I'd say to Lester, Coco and Lester. I'm like, it fell. So I'm like, how long do you know? I want to do one of Tito's dips. I mean, I'm 6 for 6, 6 pukes since 8th grade. I go, this is my last year. I got to see if one time I could, you know, I just want to sit and watch a game with a dip. And they're like, bro, Johnny Lester's like, Case, you got at least 4 innings. I'm like, you think I got 4 innings? He goes, yeah, that's easy. You know, that's easy what he's doing. I'm like, all right, cool. So bam, I 2 pieces of bazooka. I get some of Tito's. Hey, go, Tito, let me get a little bit of this. He goes, yeah, no problem, Case. I go over to Tito's stash, grab a little freaking leaf. I think it was Levi Garrett with a Kahlua in there. I put it in, wrap it up, bro. I'm like, and I actually thought I was like back in 8th grade. I'm like, man, I actually feel cool. Like, I actually feel cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So like during the game, I'm spitting. Bro, Chinch, uh-huh. I'm not going to lie to you, dude. Not 4 innings later. 4 minutes later, bro. Oh,
it's the head.
The green monster starts going around. Just starts moving. The green monster is now in right field. I'm like, how'd the green monster get to right? That's what I think. Dude, swear to God. I'm like, oh, dude. I look at John Lester and Coco. I go, listen, boys. I go, this hasn't ever worked out for me. Turns out it's not going to be 4 innings. So I take it out. I throw it down, dude. I'm under the water thing. And all I can think about is I got to get this out of my system. Like, I don't want to feel like I have to throw up, right? So I'm like, I'm guzzling the water, spitting out. Dude, it's like the 4th inning. I'm going to have that sweat. I'm in the dugout sweating profusely. I'm like, oh, this is such a bad idea. So what do? It's an incredible story. I'm like, I got to go lay down. Like, obviously I'm on the DL, so that's good. Like, I'm not going to play, but I'm in full uni. I'm like, I got to go lay down. So I go up. Into the locker room, bro. And whenever Bartolo Colon was on the team, whenever Bartolo Colon didn't pitch, all he would do is be up eating and watching Telemundo, right? The Spanish network or whatever. So I'm like, Spanish stuff. So I'm like, I go up there, bro, and he's on the couch. So I literally, I came up with Bartolo too. So we've known each other since we were like 20 years old. So I'm like, what's up, Bart? I was like, dude, listen, I was like, I just took a Levi Garrett, some of Tito's bazooka. I go, I got to lay down. Well, the couch wasn't that big. So for the next 5 innings, I had my head on Bartolo Colon's lap, laying down, watching Telemundo with him for like 2
hours. Are you serious?
I swear to God, true story, for an hour and a half. And I was literally, I battled. I didn't end up throwing up. I had a few gags, but I end up grinding through with Bartolo.
I cuddled
Bartolo Colon on the couch. Just while watching.
While he's eating like a hero.
No, he's eating. Like he's eating.
And,
yeah.
The Gordo y La Flaca and stuff.
Dude, he's crushing rice beans and some beet steak while I'm cuddled up next to Bartolo. And I watched 2 hours of Telemundo, bro. 2 hours. I don't know Spanish. All I did was watch a Spanish soap opera for 4 hours while Bartolo was like, this is an incredible show. That's, and he kept saying, Case, you all right? I'm like, no, I'm not all right. Anyway, bro, the game ended. I can't believe it. I never forget. I get up, I'm green. It was the first time I ever slapped high five in the clubhouse. So the guys come up. Usually it's only the starting pitcher or Bartolo Colon who's watching Telemundo for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Next, they come up, slap high fives, get dressed, go home, out cold. Oh. Slept it off, dude. But that, yeah, 7 for 7.
Don't do that, folks. Honestly, don't get into it. It's gross. First of all, it's gross.
But you can use, if you use Bartolo Colon as a pillow, that helps you get through it.
Oh, I got to get some of my Photoshop people in on it. We got to do something with this. It's so good. Hey, we've gone down this line, but hey, you talked to somebody today.
Dude. You know what? Another great thing, man. JD Donaldson called. You know what a cool guy, man. Just to kind of say thanks for the way we, you know, the way it was done, and yeah. And I think it was cool because, hey, man, as a, you know, you could do the old line of call a reporter, and you have the articles written to get a couple quotes, or you know, for him to come on our show and really be able to lay out and thank the fans and a lot of the coaches that helped him and all the people that were a part of his journey and give a tribute to his mom and how tough she was and raising him as a single mom and It was just so much goodness, you know what I mean? And I think he said he got some unbelievable feedback and all that stuff. And dude, we had a great conversation. And one of the things I want to talk about the conversation was, he's like, you don't realize, you know, the impact that you might have had on certain people and fans in Toronto and Oakland and all these places, you know, that he was. And I was like, you know what, man? I go, there's so many people out there as a baseball player and as a good player, as somebody like Josh Donaldson, that you impact, that you'll never have any idea. Like that son, that the son and the father, daughter, or whatever, the family go to a game. They can only afford to go to one game in Toronto, and Josh Donaldson hits a 3-run walk-off homer. You don't think that they feel good? They feel like winners. They feel like winners. They walk out of there. They have stories for the rest of their life. You remember when Josh Donaldson hit that 3-run homer walk-off? I still have people say to me, like, hey, we were at the only game I ever went to was a game you hit a walk-off double in the gap, and we were so excited driving home. We drove back to, like, Cleveland, Ohio from Cincinnati, and we were big Reds fans. And, dude, you don't realize the people you're impacting. There's 40,000, 30,000, 40,000 people at most of the games. If you're doing something big, you don't realize it because it's part of your profession. But these people pay their hard-earned money to go to maybe one or two games a year. If you do something, you've impacted them emotionally for the rest of their life. And when you retire, people come out and say, hey, man, thanks so much. That's incredible. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's just, I think that's awesome. I think we forget about that, the human aspect of this game. And I think JD even told me, he's like, you know, Case, the last couple of years weren't the great best years for me. I didn't play up to my billing. He even said it on our show, you know, those years in New York. And he's like, you know, he got booed a lot there. And, you know, as a person, you feel like, oh, man, you know, this is how people are going to remember me. It's not true, man. People remember the MVP. People remember the guy that gave them some great memories. And I just think that's a good thing to remember, that this game would be nothing without the fans. No. Nothing. Because the fans are looking for experiences. They want to be entertained by the talent of the players. And sometimes as a player, your world gets so small because you're like, oh, I'm not doing that well. Oh, I'm so overwhelmed. Oh, I'm having so much failure. And you forget, like, when you take the field, people are there to see your abilities. And when you do something good, even in New York, when he hit that walk-off grand slam in 2022, like, dude, people that were at that game are going to remember that.
Actually, that's very well put, dude, obviously. And you've been there before. But, like, I was actually looking at the comments. And, you know, like, he was an outspoken guy. I would say it was, like, 95% positive comments, maybe 5%. And wherever you go on the internet.
Of course you're going to have that, dude. Exactly.
Jerks. But generally, like you said, like, everybody, he had my favorite walk-up song. A lot of people talked about how they loved his. He did it was Regulators, you know. Regulators. And like people were talking about, oh, the first time I saw him walking to the plate with the Regulators song, I was like, this guy's he's gonna be a great Blue Jay. And I was like, holy cow, see it, you do. That's hey, so memories. Cool. Dave Winfield was my favorite player when I was a kid. I remember being in second grade and him hitting a game winning home run. And like, that was it. I'm like, he hit a home run on the day I went to the game. And my favorite player hit a home run. And like,
and you matter. No, for
yesterday, like it was. Yeah,
and for whatever reason, Chinch, like I know you probably felt like you had a part of it. Like I was a good luck charm. Seriously. Like, I mean, how many times do we say every game I go to? Hey, when I go to Reds games, they're 11-0.
Yeah, my mom's or my dad's mom, my nanny Mildred, took to her grave every single Yankee game she ever went to. Joe DiMaggio hit a home run.
What? That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, cool. Your grandmother?
Yeah, my dad's mom. Every single game she went to, he hit a home run. Now he hit a lot of them, but
that's incredible. That's incredible. Cool. Dude, I got another really quick.
Yeah.
You're talking about DiMaggio.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor growing up, Mr. Appel, greatest guy ever. He used to fly the flag out for July 4th, and he put it up 2 days early for my birthday. So I thought it was the biggest thing ever. Mr. Pell would be like, you know, Sean, we're flying the flag for you. I think he was in World War II. Just a great guy. Loved baseball, too. When I got to the big leagues, I used to go over to his house and sit with him sometime. He loved it, right? But I remember he told me a story one time. He was at the Babe Ruth call shot game.
Oh, my goodness.
How cool is that? You know, when I hear your grandmother talking about DiMaggio, you're like, dude, that's history. Like, you want to know what she knows about DiMaggio. I remember talking to my neighbor, Mr. Pell, and he was at the Babe Ruth called shot game.
Wow.
It was in Chicago, I think.
Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's from Chicago, and he pointed the bat, and my neighbor, Mr. Pell, was at that game. How cool is that?
That is super cool. Yeah, super cool. Well, that's why the game is great, man. It's yeah. It's just,
and there you go.
Bucket of memories.
And there you go. Babe Ruth doesn't know Mr. Pell was at the game, right? At the end of the day, but Mr. Pell forever would tell me and his grandkids and anyone that would listen, hey,
yep,
I was at the history. I saw it. You know what I mean? I saw that happen.
I'll tell you one more. Cool. That was the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me ever. This is a quick one. Red Sox beat the Yankees, big deal, in 2004, and then they get to the World Series, and they still in the World Series.
right.
So they win. I was still at ESPN. So I'm out on a field, and I'm standing there on the field, and it's like mayhem. The Red Sox, you know, Millar and all those guys, they're going crazy on the field, and I look over, and I just see, was it Jimmy Fallon?
Oh yeah, and Drew Barrymore.
Out with Drew Barrymore, and I was like, they're standing right over here, and I was like, what's going on? Like, what? That's Jimmy Fallon. That's Drew Barrymore, and they're like kissing on the field while they celebrate. Turns out they remember Fallon did that Red Sox
movie.
So whatever that movie was, when the Red Sox started getting really good, and then they were gonna beat, and then when they beat the Yankees, they changed the ending to the movie. And right. So like they went to the World Series and then recorded whatever shot that was. But like at the time, I didn't know they were even making a movie. And I look over and I just see Jimmy Fallon making
it. Like, I didn't know they were together.
And I was like, this is really, what's happening? It's so funny. Anyway, that's so good stuff, man. Baseball's great.
Love it, dude. Really all
you need to know is baseball's great. We got a lot of stuff to get to this week. I think we're good for today because I think we might have the hammer John Heyman on to tell us what the heck is going on with these two starting pitchers. Like,
yeah,
is Snell and Montgomery? We're getting to a point where they might, if they sign, they might not start the season, right?
They're not gonna. I don't think. How could you? How could you?
Yeah. Okay. So maybe we'll get him.
It's March 5th. They're gonna, you know, obviously they're throwing now and they're probably facing some, you know, hitters on the side somewhere. But like, you know, at the end of the day, you gotta
meet your team,
big league games and stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd love to hear what the hammer John Heyman has to say.
I love calling. All right,
so Johnny's the best, dude. Johnny and I've shared an office for our first like 5 years. 5 years of the network, and I'm like, I love this guy, man. Heyman's the best.
He is the best. He's just one of the most underrated funny people, and he's one of the funniest guys in the world. Quick-witted. So maybe we'll get him on maybe like Friday.
Awesome. Then, dude,
tomorrow, let's get to you sent me a video of a few players, but don't say who they are, but talking about the argument for hitting down versus hitting up and all that stuff.
Maybe we can get
into that tomorrow, you think?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Yeah, it's an interesting conversation.
All right, cool. All right, anything else you got to get off your chest before we get out of here today?
No, man. I think that was some great stuff, man. That was great. Dude, it's funny where the show went. We didn't even discuss. I mean,
none of these stories.
Yeah, that was great, though. That was great.
Laying in
bed. And for all you kids out there, don't dip. Don't dip. It doesn't work out. It's not good for you. It doesn't work. It's like 2024 smoking. Like nobody wants to see you carrying a spittoon around, spitting into it where your buddy has a chance to drink it the next morning and you have a chance to snuggle with Bartolo Colon for five innings on the couch.
Yes. There's our public service announcement for today. Have an awesome day. We'll catch up tomorrow, right?
All right, Gigi. Have a great day. Everyone out there, thanks for listening. Subscribe, download. We'll see you guys tomorrow. See you, buddy.